Off and on over the past month and a half, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, what he does in our lives, who the Holy Spirit is. We've talked about how the Holy Spirit ministers to us, reveals God to us, speaks into our lives. Oftentimes when I'm with the daycare kids downstairs every week, I do a little bit of a Bible lesson. Every so often they'll raise their hand, they'll ask me questions. Pastor Matt, where is God? I can't see him. You know, where is he? Somewhere here in this room? They have questions typically like that, right? And the best way I can explain to them is that God isn't a person necessarily that we see with our eyes, but he is a spirit. His Holy Spirit actually covers this globe that we live in, all over creation, actually, throughout this universe. God is here right now. He's with us. We don't see him with our eyes, but we know that he is with us. Now, for a three-year-old, that's a little bit hard to wrap their minds around. But in the Bible, we talk about how when we truly trust in Jesus, that he comes and he lives inside of us. After Jesus' death and resurrection, Jesus gave his disciples guidance and direction for their lives. He was giving them guidance and direction in terms of how they can continue to be his disciples and how they can continue to make disciples as well. And he told them, I want you to wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to empower you to be a disciple of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is going to empower you to make other disciples. And as we've talked about in previous weeks, as the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, he actually empowers different giftings in our lives as well. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul talks about Holy Spirit-inspired giftings. He talks about the regular giftings like leadership, serving, gifts of helping. And then he talks about other gifts as well, like prophecy and spiritual languages. Every single one of these gifts are empowered by the Holy Spirit living inside of us. One of the giftings that we read about in the Bible, Spirit-empowered abilities, that's talked most about in Scripture, but is probably the most misunderstood spiritual gift that's talked about in Scripture, is the gifting of other languages. Or spiritual languages. Sometimes when you open up your Bible, depending on the version that you're reading, it will use the word tongues, the spiritual gift of tongues. Tongues literally, if you translate it from Greek, literally just means languages. Languages. Spiritual languages is a gift that God wants to give his people. We see this gift of spiritual languages popping up several times in the Bible. If you open up the book of Acts, it's all over the place. It pops up several times in Acts. If you open up the book of 1 Corinthians, the first letter written by Paul to the church in Corinth, he talks about the gift of tongues quite a bit in that book as well. The mere fact that it's mentioned quite often in the New Testament points to the fact that this is actually a gift of importance. When you read the story in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, when the disciples and the believers are all together in prayer, waiting for the Holy Spirit, it's a story of that we read a couple weeks ago, this Holy Spirit descending on them. And as the Holy Spirit came upon them, they ended up speaking in other languages. Other languages. What was fascinating about the story that we talked about a couple weeks ago is there's people from all over the known world hearing the goodness of God, as we're just singing about, hearing the glories of God spoken in their language, their own language. They were blown away by it. They're like, how is this person from Galilee, how is this person from Jerusalem who has no idea what my language is able to speak my language and talk and worship God in my language? They're blown away by it. Now, what's interesting about that story is if that story of people being able to speak in other spiritual languages only showed up once in the Bible, we'd be able to look at it and say, that is an interesting, miraculous experience. I wish I was there, and we'd be able to move on. Kind of ignore it. What's hard to ignore, though, is that it shows up several times again in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 10, in Acts chapter 19, you have stories of people where the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and then they speak in other languages. We also see it, once again, described and talked about in the book of 1 Corinthians. So there's a lot of misunderstandings about the gift of spiritual languages. So today I wanted to take a little bit of a closer look at it. Specifically, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The Corinthian church was an interesting church. For me, I'd love if I could, you know, hop in a time machine, go back 2,000 years ago and plop me in the middle of that church to see what in the world was going on. Because we only have a one-sided letter. We have Paul's letter to the Corinthians, but that's all we have. And so you end up kind of reading in between the lines and trying to decipher a little bit what's going on. But what's apparent is that this was a church that practiced the spiritual gifts. It was a charismatic church. If you would have popped in on there, all sorts of stuff was going on. Now, what's interesting about this church as well is that by the things that Paul writes about, it doesn't come across as a very spiritually mature church. So it was operating the spiritual giftings, but they weren't necessarily mature. And that's a good thing for us to know, is that a spiritual gifting doesn't necessarily equate to emotional spiritual maturity. God gives us gifts because he loves us, not because we've earned it or because we're a good Christian. Just so you know that. He gives it to us because he loves us. In fact, when we read 1 Corinthians chapter 14, there's things going on in the church where Paul is critical towards them. He's trying to direct them in how they use their spiritual giftings. What's unfortunate sometimes in the past is when Christians have read 1 Corinthians 14, if you have your Bible, you can open it there. In fact, I would encourage you, come to church with your Bible. I know that we put scriptures up there, but it's really good for you to have your Bible open, see what I'm reading, where you're finding it in 1 Corinthians 14 today. And so he's critical towards the Corinthian church, but it's easy for us to misinterpret that, to think that Paul is trying to downgrade it, or he thinks less of the spiritual gift. He doesn't think less of the spiritual gift, but he wants for them to use it appropriately. And unfortunately, if you've gone to maybe many different churches or you've been a Christian for a long time or whatever, you may have seen spiritual giftings that have been used in a way that's maybe inappropriate, maybe abused. And for sometimes when people experience spiritual giftings in this way, we have a tendency to want to reject the spiritual gifts, maybe avoid them. Sometimes it's like we're just like in the church, we're just like, let's just not talk about it. Let's not talk about that spiritual gift. And at worst, we choose to not practice them because we're like, oh man, these spiritual giftings are messy, so let's avoid them. I believe that God's heart for the church, I believe that God's heart for Gateway in our church is that we would practice the spiritual giftings, including the spiritual giftings of tongues. We see it's a biblical gifting and we see it through the Bible, but I think that God wants us to practice these spiritual giftings in a healthy way. Whenever we're practicing the spiritual giftings, I think there's an aspect of discernment, discerning whether it is kind of just in my flesh or of the Spirit, discerning when it is appropriate, when and how. I think there's an aspect of asking ourselves, is this spiritual gifting practiced in love? And is it encouraging? Because that's what we see in Scripture, is that Paul encourages us that when we practice our spiritual giftings, prophecy, speaking in tongues, that it's done in love, that it's encouraging, and that we're discerning. In the midst of this controversy that's going on in Corinth, we see a couple statements where Paul expresses joy in his use of speaking in spiritual languages. In 1 Corinthians 14:5, he says this. He says, I wish you could all speak in tongues. I wish you could all speak in tongues. And then in verse 18, he says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than any of you. The reason why he's making these specific statements is because if you read through 1 Corinthians 14, he is critical of the Corinthian church and how they are using this gifting. But he wants us to know in backing up that his criticism isn't criticism of the gift. He's like, man, I wish you could all speak in tongues. Obviously, not all of them did. There was that gift that was being operated in the Corinthian church. Many people were, but not everybody was. And he's like, man, I wish you all were able to speak in tongues. This is such an amazing gift. And then he uses hyperbole in saying that I thank God that I speak tongues more than any of you guys. In his criticism, he's saying, hey, I speak in tongues. And I do it a lot. So I'm not against speaking in tongues. I'm not even against doing it a lot because I think I probably use this gift more than any of you guys. He's exaggerating. What is Paul not communicating to them, if you read 1 Corinthians 14, is this. He's not communicating to them that they have to speak in tongues. You don't see that in a statement. And he's not communicating to them that if you do speak in tongues, that you are more spiritual than other people, or that you are more gifted than other people, or that God loves you more. And that is something that I've seen in the church over the years as people struggled with this gifting, is that if they don't, that sense that they are lesser than, or that the church looks down upon them, that they're less spiritual or anything like that. And that we just don't see that in the Bible. That is not communicated in Scripture. In fact, like I said earlier, it's very obvious that the Corinthian church was fairly spiritually immature, and yet they practiced the gifts. So the gifting of tongues doesn't represent that you're more spiritual or that God loves you more. What is the purpose of spiritual languages? If you've seen it in the Bible, if you've seen other people speak in tongues or spiritual languages, you might ask yourself, what is the purpose of this? Number one, the purpose is communication with God. It is a spirit-to-spirit communication with God. In 1 Corinthians 14:2, he says this, if you have the ability to speak in unknown languages, you'll be talking only to God. Since people won't be able to understand you, you'll be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but will all be mysterious. So if you hear someone praying in tongues and you don't understand it, that's okay. They're communicating. There's a spiritual communication between them and God. It's like spirit to spirit. Sometimes you know stuff in your mind, and sometimes maybe you've used this statement, you know stuff in your gut, or you know stuff in your spirit. Sometimes you're communicating to God a little bit with your mind, with the language that you know in English or whatever your first language is, and you're communicating to God, and your brain is fully engaged. And sometimes you need to communicate to God in a way that bypasses your brain, and it's spirit to spirit. You can't fully put it into words. When we're relying just on our understanding, we're a little bit handicapped. But when our spirit communicates with God, there's something different that happens. In verse 14, he says, "For if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I am saying." This is Paul. He's like, my spirit is connecting to God, but Paul is even saying, I don't even know what I'm saying. There's just some sort of communication between me and God that is happening. Several years ago at the University of Pennsylvania, some researchers wanted to know when people speak in spiritual languages or tongues, they're wondering what is going on inside of someone. So some researchers, they mapped someone's brain. They took brain images of five women. They took five women that had the gift of speaking in tongues, and they did brain images of them, figuring out what is going on inside their brain when they're speaking in tongues. And what was interesting that they found is that when they were speaking in tongues, that their frontal lobes of their brain, which is the willful part of the brain, which controls a lot of what goes on, it's the language part of our brain, that when they're speaking in tongues, the frontal lobe of their brain was actually somewhat on pause. And they're fascinated by that. Because typically, as I'm speaking to you right now, as I'm communicating to you in English, the frontal lobe of my brain is lit up. There's a lot going on up here as I'm communicating with you. But as they study these women's brains, as they're speaking in tongues, that part of their brain kind of like went on pause. And they're fascinated by that. There's something going on in the spirit. It's like their brain, it's not a brain thing, it's a spirit thing. And for us in the Western world who love to think in the left side of our brain, and we lift that part up where it's like it has to make sense to us. If everything has to make sense to you, this is probably going to irk you. It has to make sense. Sometimes there's things in the spirit that aren't going to fully make sense, but it's spirit-to-spirit communication. Romans 8:27 says this, "And the Father who knows all the hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will." The Spirit pleads. I believe that sometimes when you're speaking in tongues, there's an aspect where you're able to pray, you're able to intercede for other people, situations, things that are going on in your life in a way that bypasses your brain and goes through your spirit. And you might not know what you're praying for, but the Spirit knows. The Spirit is interceding on your behalf for other people. There's been times in my life when I've been in situations, difficult situations, things that are going on, and without even me thinking about it, all of a sudden there's tongues that are going on, there's spiritual language that are being spoken of in my spirit that are being spoken kind of underneath my breath. And I don't even recognize it until after the fact that my spirit was praying and interceding in a way that was bypassing my brain, spirit to spirit with God. Number two, what is the other purpose of this spiritual gifting? It's the strengthening of your spirit, the inner person. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says this, "A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally." You are being strengthened in your inner person. The Greek meaning of this word strengthen is this idea to promote growth, to build up. It's kind of like building up a house or repairing a house, the same type of word used for that. It could be, in some versions of the Bible, it uses the word edify. It builds up one's character and it encourages yourself. So there's an aspect that if you're using this gift, it's like building yourself up, your inner person. It's kind of like a spiritual workout for yourself. There's a purpose in this. So we see it's communication with God, spirit to spirit. There's an aspect of if you have his gifting, it's encouraging yourself spiritually. And the third one, which is really what Paul talks about mainly in 1 Corinthians 12 and what he's referencing in 1 Corinthians 14 is this, to communicate to a gathering of the church the words of God. This is the main context of what he's saying. And so sometimes, oftentimes, people get mixed up the spiritual gifting of prayer in spiritual languages or tongues and the proclamation gift. This is what I mean by that. If you read 1 Corinthians 12, verses 29 to 30, it says this, "Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages?" Of course not. Now, sometimes misunderstood, sometimes people will go to that verse and they'll say, see, not everybody is supposed to have this gifting. But oftentimes what we misunderstand is the context of this. Paul is specifically using a context of giftings that are meant for the body of Christ. And so he lumps up speaking in unknown languages with the ability to interpret unknown languages. It's a proclamation gift. So if you've been in this church for a while, you may notice every so often someone will feel the unction of the Spirit to give a message in tongues to the church. So it's beyond just their prayer language between them and God. Most of the time when you're speaking in tongues, it's just you and God. It's just a conversation between you and God. You're worshiping God, you're praying, you're using that gift. But every so often, someone will have the gift where there's a message for the church and they will speak it out to the church in tongues. And when that happens, there needs to be an interpretation. And that's what Paul is talking about here in 1 Corinthians 12. He's not talking about the gift of your prayer language. He's specifically talking about the proclamation gift that's for the church. And this is something that's been really misunderstood in the church. It's very, very different than your prayer language. A lot of people in the church can have the prayer language of tongues, but that aspect of proclaiming it as a message to the church is a different type of gifting. It's like the gift of prophecy in many ways. And so that's why Paul in 1 Corinthians 14 is saying that when you're gathered together, there's no point in y'all guys, you know, speaking at each other in tongues. You kind of get that sense in 1 Corinthians 14. They're gathering together, they're worshiping, and they're just speaking at each other in tongues. No one understands what's going on. Paul's like, hey, that's kind of useless. It's better that you prophesy in your language that everybody else understands so they can understand what you are saying. Or it's better that if someone's speaking in tongues as a prophetic gifting, that someone needs to interpret that. Someone needs to interpret that. Does that make sense? Much of what we read in 1 Corinthians 14 is he's talking about proper order in the church. Proper order in the church. And that's why the way we function, if you have a gifting of prophecy, or God feels like you have a gift, like a prophetic word for the church, or you have a message in tongues, we ask that you don't just stand up in the middle of the service and start yelling it. We believe that there's order and direction that needs to happen in the church, that we need to create a place of safety. And so that's why we ask if you have a message that you come and tell one of the pastors so that we can discern together, is this the right time to share that? Is this what we should be sharing? And we discern at the right moment when we are doing that. And that's really what Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians 14, is this aspect of proper order in the church so that people aren't just yelling and screaming and yelling out different things or whatever, but there's order. I'm going to ask if the worship team would come forward. Maybe you're here today and you would say to yourself, how do I receive this gift of speaking spiritual languages? Because not every Christian has that gifting, which is understandable. How do I do that? The interesting thing is when we read through Scripture is that there isn't a formula in the Bible for receiving that gift. There's no formula. So there's no, like, if you do this, this, and this, this will happen. I know for us, especially in the Western world, we like formulas. Just give me the formula, Pastor Matt. We oftentimes treat Christianity like that, like, just tell me what I need to do, the formula. But there are some things that we see. Sometimes you have instances, like in Acts chapter 19, where other people who have that gifting lay hands and pray for others to receive that gift, and then they receive that gift. But it's not always like that. You have a story in Acts chapter 10 where people are hearing the good news of Jesus Christ through Peter, and the Spirit just comes on them as they're hearing the message, and they end up speaking in tongues, spiritual languages. You have other instances, like in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, where they're in a prayer meeting, and they're praying, and all of a sudden, it's this gift starts flowing. So it happens in different times, in different places, in different ways. You don't see a formula here. But I see at least a couple of different principles in the Bible that helps. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, right from the start, it says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. That's what Paul encourages. He says, eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. So I want to ask you today, do you eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit? Because to be honest, I don't always see that in the church. Sometimes amongst Christians, sometimes I see fear. There's fear towards it. And sometimes I see antagonism. Like there's a spirit of antagonism towards it. But I think that if Paul were here today, he would say exactly this. Eagerly desire the gifts. That's okay. It's okay to want a gift. I think of my kids, especially when they're small, you know. Christmas comes around, their birthday comes around, and they're looking forward to that gift. When is present opening time? And I don't look at my kids and being like, man, don't be so selfish. I get it. They're looking forward to something good. And I think that's what we should as well. We don't need to be scared. We don't need to be scared. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 99, he says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So whether it's this gift or other gifts, your Heavenly Father wants to give you gifts. That's his heart. Luke is interesting. Luke records it slightly differently, and he says, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And I think between Matthew and Luke, it's such a beautiful combination because Matthew says gifts, Luke says the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is a gift. And the Holy Spirit is the one who wants to give us the gifts. So what does it look like? What does it look like? Sometimes people are a little bit unsure. Tongues is not a magical experience that you don't have control over. So sometimes people think, like, if it's going to happen to me, then God is going to like control my mouth or my tongue and it's just going to happen. I have no control over it. But actually, like many things in life, the Holy Spirit works in conjunction with us. He doesn't force us to do anything. If you ever sense the Holy Spirit saying to you, I want you to do this or I want you to do that. Maybe he says, I want you to go and pray for that person. The Holy Spirit doesn't lift you up and force you over there. And all of a sudden you're praying, you're like, whoa, what happened? He places that within us, and then we decide whether or not we're going to cooperate with him. And this gift is a little bit like that as well. It's like, I've found very often that this gift comes as we learn to worship. We worship God. And as we're worshiping Jesus, like we were earlier, Jesus, we love you. Actually, could we sing that song as well? I know you have another one planned, but could we sing that song? Because I think that as we sing, Jesus, we love you, and you worship him, and as you do, sometimes in that worship, if you're open to it, there's going to be sometimes stuff that pops into your brain that doesn't sound like English. And you might go, where did that come from? It's from the Holy Spirit. But he's not going to force your mouth open. What he's doing is he's waiting for you to speak it out in faith. And as you speak it out in faith, sometimes it's like, oh, now you just open the tap. And the tap starts flowing. In verse 32, he says, remember that people who prophesy are in control of their spirit. What Paul is saying is that when you prophesy, it's not like the spirit just controls you like a puppet, but that you are in control of it, when and where it happens. And tongues is similar. Tongues is similar. Jim, did you want to share that? Is that on your heart? Jim had a sense from the Holy Spirit today. And I said, can you hold on to that and share that with us?
So it really dovetails with the sermon. We're kind of on the same track here, I think. This morning as we were just praying, the Father's heart to each of us is this. Why did you come to church today? Ponder that thought. Why did you come to church today? I think if you're like me, you came with an expectation. And that's a healthy thing to have with the Lord. We've spoken about gifts this morning and the gifts that God wants to bring to each of us. And God is saying, raise your expectation in me and experience all that I have. You see, we've always kind of thought, well, this is what God has done or this is what I've seen. But the Lord is saying, I want you to raise your personal expectation of who I am in your life. I want you to experience me as the Father, as you shared so eloquently, you know, like I have good gifts for my children, but there has to be that one excitement and anticipation of the gift too. And as I was pondering this during the sermon, I was thinking of Dan here, a gifted musician. God gave him a gift, but he had to pick up that guitar. He had to pick it up. He had to start playing it. And I don't think it sounded like it sounds like today when he started. I know that for a fact because I'm trying to do it too and it's not working so good so far. But God is also looking for that same persistence. Will you pursue that gift that God wants for you? Will you pursue it with a sense of, this is something special for me and for me to bless the body. And God is very faithful and he's trustworthy and he has so much more than we can anticipate. And he invites you today, as Pastor has shared, to just come on in. Come on in. It might feel awkward. It might feel different. But come on in and see what I have for you as my child and receive it as a gift from your loving Father.
Thank you.